Today's gospel story takes place on Resurrection Day. That morning, the women who had gone to anoint Jesus' body returned, speaking of angels and an empty tomb. Their testimony was dismissed as an idle tale. Now, Cleopas and another disciple, his wife perhaps, were walking the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were probably returning to their home after celebrating Passover in the city and after the awful, traumatic events that unfolded there, the crucifixion of Jesus, their teacher and friend. As they walk, they are talking, processing their grief and shock. They're joined by another traveller, a man they don't recognize, who asks them what it is they're deep in conversation about. The gospel writer tells us that this stranger is none other than Jesus himself, but their eyes are kept from recognizing him. It's a story that's full of mystery, that invites our questions. Kept from recognizing him by what? By whom? Why? I don't know the answers. Surprise, surprise. And I'm not going to try to resolve this story's loose ends. The openness calls us to engage with the story, to enter into it ourselves, to ask, what is it that gets in the way of us recognizing Christ's presence with us? There's a lot in this story that I love and that I think might speak to our own situation. I don't usually do three-point sermons, but there are three things in particular that I want to draw out today. The first is about losing or deconstructing our faith. It's an experience that might be familiar to many of us. Sometimes it's a gradual process, a small doubt or discomfort, like a loose thread on a jumper, that bothers us, so we pull at it a little bit, and then a little bit more. And before we know it, the whole thing is unraveling and there's no going back. Sometimes it's more sudden, a revelation or tragedy that shatters us. It can feel like the ground beneath us is no longer solid or trustworthy, a lurching, plummeting feeling like falling. As they pour out their story to Jesus, Cleopas and his companion speak the three most heartbreaking words. We had hoped. Our faith was in Jesus, and our faith has let us down. In chaplaincy, we call this spiritual distress, feeling betrayed or abandoned by God. Feeling that our hopes had been misplaced and now they have disappeared. It can be really painful and disorienting. We don't talk about this much in church, least of all from the pulpit. But maybe we should. Because friends, I don't think this is a failure or something we need to be ashamed of. I think it's part of the journey of an honest, thoughtful, and wholehearted faith, a faith that moves and changes, deepens and grows. In today's gospel story, it's in this place of disillusionment and bewilderment that Jesus shows up. He stays and listens to their sadness. And then the rebuilding begins. He takes them back to the scriptures, one prophecy after another, casting new light on ancient and familiar words. At this point, they still don't recognize Jesus, but something within them is rekindled. It's not an ending after all. It's a beginning. Tough as it is while we're in it, I think the deconstruction of our faith, the undermining of our certainties, the unraveling of our beliefs can be necessary. After the breaking comes the remaking, the resurrection of our buried hopes. The second thing I want to highlight in this reading is about risky conversations. For this insight, I need to give credit to one of the Bible commentators I read, Margaret Aimer. She points out that the two disciples on the road are taking a huge risk, speaking so freely with a stranger, particularly in the context of all that's happened over the previous few days. They speak openly about their dashed hopes that Jesus would liberate Israel from Roman occupation. They speak openly about their disappointment in their religious leaders who collaborated in Jesus' death, handing him over to be crucified. They knew, they had just seen with their own eyes, how saying these sorts of things could get you killed. They spoke the truth courageously and did not shy away from the political. I think it's fair to say that we live in a world where our leaders continue to disappoint us, or worse, where those in power wreak violence and chaos, where the church can be at best complacent, at worst complicit, where religion is used to justify some of the worst atrocities. We can be inspired by these disciples to name evil and call out injustice, to have conversations that are brave and political and important. And we can be thankful for those today who are prepared to take risks for their beliefs and for the gospel. On the 30th of March, Oxfordshire County Council issued a formal legal notice on unauthorised flags in public spaces. Our synod moderator, Michael Hopkins, has made a statement to the press in support of the council's action. I was privy to some of the conversations that led up to this between Michael and other leaders in the synod. The St. George's flag is a controversial, polarizing topic at the moment. Should we take a stance or stay out of it? This is a moment when I feel proud to be a member and minister of the United Reformed Church. It's a great example of entering risky conversations, of being political, of speaking up for the gospel and welcoming the stranger. I'm going to read you some of Michael's words from a radio interview he gave about this. He said, "Our concern is about the impact on social cohesion and the impact on neighbourly trust, because we want shared spaces to feel shared by everyone. It's about hope, not fear. It's about safety and dignity and neighbourliness." He goes on to say about the role of the church, "We want to try and be part of what is healing and what is reconciling. Public life doesn't have to be driven by hostility. At times it can seem as if that's the only way for things to happen. But what we are hoping for is that there is still to be room for generosity and civility and shared belonging." Isn't that a great positive message? And this brings me neatly to the third and last point I want to make about our gospel passage, which is about hospitality, including or especially towards the stranger. The disciples on the road think that Jesus is a foreigner. "You must not be from around here, otherwise you'd know what's been going on." When they reach their village, Jesus makes as if to continue, but they urge him to stay with them. Imagine if they hadn't. They never would have experienced the realization of Jesus' presence with them. It's only when they sit down to share a meal and Jesus unexpectedly assumes the role of host, taking the bread, blessing it, breaking it, with gestures that strike a chord of realization. At the moment of recognition, he vanishes from view, and they turn to one another in astonished joy. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was opening the scriptures to us? If it weren't so laden with other emotions, this story would be a comedy. First, they explain Jesus to Jesus, not realizing who they're speaking to. Then he disappears at the very moment they recognize him. And now, having finally reached their destination at this late hour, they rush back out and retrace their steps, 7 miles, don't forget, all the way back to Jerusalem, to rejoin the community of believers and share what they have experienced. Our faith is lived out in community. We need one another. And Christ is revealed to us in the stranger, in the foreigner, when we open our homes, when we share what we have, when we eat together. Somehow, mysteriously, Jesus is present. This message feels more vital than ever in this world of flags on roundabouts and religious tensions and mistrust of immigrants and the ugly undercurrents of racism bubbling up and spilling over. In this world where large-scale conflicts devastate communities and deepen the divisions in our own neighborhoods. In summary, 3 messages for us today, which maybe could be distilled down to 1 message. Let's be open and unafraid. Let's be open to questions and mystery, and unafraid of deconstruction and doubt. Let's be open to risky conversations and unafraid of politics. Let's be open and welcoming to the stranger and unafraid of those who seem different from us. Because these are the places where Jesus shows up, in the wreckage of our broken belief systems, in vulnerable and brave conversations, in unexpected friendships, in bread broken and shared.